You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, band of very valiant and vivacious bon vivants. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 145, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your... seminar of semi-aquatic and semi-sweet semi-pros who semi-talk about semi-colons.
I'm semi-Colin.
And I'm semi-Chris. Oh, I get it.
And Dana is not here today.
She's in Mexico.
Yeah, she's in Mexico. Yeah.
So not even kidding.
Screw that.
Yeah. I don't think she felt bad at all about missing today's show.
No. She's like, I'm out. And then she like texted us a bunch of sunglasses and happy faces.
Yeah, the emoji. Yeah, yeah. It was like sun, sand, drink, food. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, hope you're having fun, Dana. Today's episode is episode number 145, and every fifth episode, we don't really have a theme or a topic. We've all prepared our own quizzes and puzzles to stump each other and stump you guys, listeners, so today, enjoy all quiz bonanza number 29. Woohoo! All right. So throughout the show, I'm going to talk about a lot of our listener feedback. Mascots, our last episode, generated a lot of buzz.
Oh, yeah.
From beginning to end. And starting from beginning, in the mascots episode for Pop Quiz Hot Shot, we had 1960s Jeopardy.
We did.
Someone wrote in and said that it seems like it's all very easy and doesn't understand how hard.
Right.
The other categories could be.
Yeah.
So, Chris, I asked you a favor.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm cherry-picking the 1960s Jeopardy stuff to things that I think we can actually answer. But, hey, if you want to crank it up to hard mode, I'm your guy. So let me bust out the old 1960s Jeopardy game here. So here we go with the, unless you're 75 years old, you're going to have a hard time with these. Pop quiz, hot shot. You're going to get, if you get more than one of these, I'll be really shocked. All right, here we go.
Between us.
The category is.
Can we team up?
Yeah.
You can.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
category is.
Yeah, we can combine our ages.
Funnies. As in the funny papers.
Oh, good lord.
Wow. Here we go. All right, ready? For $10, Dinny is his dinosaur.
Oh, Dinny.
Well, it's not Flintstone. Well, that's...
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's not Pogo. It's
Dinny
not
is his
Hagar
dinosaur.
The horrible.
I feel like
there's like a caveman-y.
No, it's gotta. It's gonna be earlier than that. This is gonna be
really?
Something. This is gonna be something from like the 40s or 50s.
Those little lights are ticking away though.
Yeah, I can't claim
Hagar the Horrible.
It's not Hagar the Horrible, who's a Viking. It is Alley-Oop.
Oh, okay.
Alley-Oop's dinosaur is Dinny. Yeah. A lot of these are like, oh, sure, vague recollection.
Kind of heard.
Sure, yeah. I've seen those before. Yeah.
This one should be no problem. Mr. Mxyzptlk, that's Mxyzptlk, is his enemy from the fifth dimension.
Who is Superman?
Indeed.
Yes.
Mr. Mixed Pickles.
He was the antagonist where you had to trick him into saying his name backward to send him back to his home dimension.
And why did he keep falling for it?
That, you know, even as like 7 years old, I was like, sure. All right. You know what, Superman? Fool me once. But that was it.
Wait.
Fifth dimension, the dimension of contrived hacky writing.
can you pronounce it? Backwards.
Kleptomaniac.
Oh.
No.
I seem to remember.
Culpism.
It was, yeah, it was like culpazixum. Culpazixum.
Culpazixum.
Culpazixum.
It would be culpazixum. Yeah.
How do you trick someone saying that?
You know what? There's great examples on the internet of.
Oh, yeah.
Every time that Superman fooled this guy.
Oh, my God. I gotta look that up later. Yeah.
Did he like put up a rebus puzzle or something?
They would do.
Yeah, so he's sounding it out.
Like lead him in a cheer. Like, give me a call. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, yeah.
This is all the great days of the Comics Code Authority because Superman just couldn't fight like murderers.
Yeah.
He had to fight crazy, wacky. Okay. Anyway. All right. That was $20. You got $20 on the board there, Colin. For $40, the Saint Bernard Andy is his dog.
Oh.
Oh, is that it's not the Little Prince. It's
No.
The Saint Bernard Andy is his dog.
Boop boop boop. Boop boop boop.
That is Mark Trail.
Oh, never heard of Mark Trail. Oh, that was like the super naturey. It was like the super realistic naturey one, maybe.
Why not?
Maybe.
Why not?
Man.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. All right. For $40, the relationship of Abby and Slats.
Slats. Slats. Good old
Abby
Slats.
Kara.
Siblings.
No.
Husband and wife.
No. It is aunt and nephew.
And that's it. No extra information.
No extra information.
All right. Do not know that one.
Finally, $50. She was the star of, quote, Jungle Comics.
I've actually seen a page of Jungle Comics, but I have no idea what the character is.
She was the
star.
Colin.
Who is Sheba?
Oh, so close, but I can't give it to you. Mm. You're onto it, though. It's actually Sheena.
Oh,
Sheena,
okay.
Queen of the Jungle.
Okay,
yes.
That was somewhere in there. It was somewhere in there.
Yep. So there you go. There is a typical 1960s Jeopardy round.
And we got exactly one.
You got one.
Yeah, you got the one.
And it was Superman.
Some of the questions are still relevant today because of enduring popularity of the thing. But then anything that was a flash in the pan or that was briefly popular in the 60s but went away, it's like, it's asking like these little bitsy pieces of knowledge about it. And yeah.
Which at that time,
would be known.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like, you can't beat Lady Gaga's this.
Right.
Right? Like, you could answer that question.
Disco stick?
Poker face.
Oh. Yeah.
In 50 years, is somebody going to know that? But then they're going to be like, oh, it was Lady Gaga. Oh,
oh
yes.
That sounds familiar.
Yes, Lady Gaga. She was first lady from 2037.
Of the Gaga land.
First of her name.
Well, there you go. You asked and we answered. Well, I guess we performed. You guys.
Hard Jeopardy.
Hard Jeopardy, and we got it. One of the emails we got in response to our last episode was an actually. And this one is.
This was a tough one.
So this is from a gentleman named Pat Bear.
Pat Bear.
Yes. Who said, actually in all caps. On a recent GJB, Chris mentioned that his high school's mascot was the Thunderhawk. This is incorrect. The mascot for North Branford High School is the Thunderbird.
Yes.
The story goes that a popular teacher owned a purple and white Ford Thunderbird, and eventually the mythical bird became the school's mascot. Purple and white are the school's colors.
Now that's interesting because I had never heard that story.
Sincerely, Pat Bear, North Branford High School, class of 99.
Oh, la-di-da, Pat Bear. That, I never actually heard that story before, but yes, I misremembered. Speaking extemporaneously, you said Thunderhawk. It was in fact the Thunderbird.
Oh.
Not cool enough to be regular hawks. We're just regular Thunderbirds.
I love the level of specificity for the actually. Here for our own personal anecdotes about our own lives
are now
subject to correction.
Also, disclaimer, Pat is Chris's high school friend.
Also true, yes. And before we continue, Karen, I have an actually for you. Actually, I recorded something for the mascot episode that you forgot to put in.
It's off the rails now. I'm telling you, last episode, just so much feedback. All right, we're going to drop in this episode.
All right, let's do it.
It has nothing to do with...
Nothing to do with anything, but it's the all-quiz show.
Yeah.
Nothing has anything to do with anything.
Chris made us a special...
Here it is.
Special thing.
I mean, like, I don't think he did it and stuff.
Oh, I don't think he could help himself, you know.
Well, he said that when he found them, they were just floating there, bobbing up and down on the surface of a bowl of milk.
You have a prepaid call from...
The Cookie Crook.
An inmate at General Mills Penitentiary.
I swear I didn't take him. I think it was that dog.
Cookie Crook.
From Good Job Brain Studios in San Francisco, this is a story told week after week after week.
about whole grains, dairy, and a bowl full of inconsistencies part of this complete breakfast of journalism. This is Serial.
Okay, so...
now that that's out of the way.
Let us kick off the All Quiz Bonanza proper here. I have a quiz for you guys. This is a second installment of a quiz I've done one time before. I called it Who, What, or Where, but I think really I should have called it Person, Place, or Thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that's really what this quiz is about. So this is the spiritual successor. I will give you guys a...
I think this is the actual successor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will give you guys a person, place, or thing that has a famous name, or perhaps you may not realize is named after something. You tell me, is it named after a person, named after a place, or named after a thing? And then for a bonus point, if you know the exact answer, you can go ahead and give me that as well. So, for example, if I said Ferris wheel, person, place, or thing,
oh,
you would say
person, Ferris Bueller.
Right. Yes, you would say, is a person the Ferris wheel named after George Ferris Jr.?
The inventor.
Yes. If I said champagne, person, place, or thing.
Place.
And then for the bonus point, you could say the Champagne region of France.
Oh, we get bonus points.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm all about extra bonuses wherever possible.
Okay.
There are at least one person, at least one place, at least one thing.
Okay.
I will tell you that. Okay. And I have given you guys each a pad of paper. I will allow you each to write down your own answers. Feel free to be funny if you like.
Ooh.
Here we go. The cardigan sweater, style of sweater, buttons in the front. Is the cardigan named after a person, a place, or a thing? All right, answers up. Chris says place. Karen says place in Wales. I like that you're going for the extra guess.
Oh.
No, the cardigan is named after a person.
Okay.
Darn!
It does sound like a place, though.
Like Cardiff.
Yeah, it is named after James Brudenell, the Earl of Cardigan.
Of course. Who one night was cold and requested a slice of meat between two sweaters.
He was a major general in the British Army in the 19th century, and apparently the cardigans took their name from the style of garment that he and his officers wore, sort of wrapped around button in the front. Yes, and there were bread in each pocket.
Two slices of bread. I like how that joke
Earl of anything.
That's one of the trivia.
You always hear it.
The Earl of Sandwich was hungry.
Well, I think that's like one of our running gags to a pub quiz. You know, it's like, oh, the Earl of Cheesesteak is where the cheesesteak gets its name. But yes, yeah. The Earl of Cardigan,
the Earl of Condom, requested
between two slices of white bread.
And when that didn't work,
a torpedo.
Oh,
a type of armaments you would find on submarines and other seafaring vessels.
It's a weird word.
What is a torpedo named after? Is it named after a person, a place, or a thing? The torpedo.
It's such a weird... I never thought of that. It's such a weird word.
This is actually what inspired this quiz. I was chasing down the meaning of this word one night. And yes. All right, answers up. Karen says thing. Chris says thing. Yes, a torpedo is named after a genus of electric ray.
Get out.
Called the torpedo. The illusion of the weapon is like something dangerous in the water that's going to sting you and stun you and mess up your day.
Wow.
Yes. And torpedo, it comes from the Latin word.
Are they really electric?
Wow. They are not only electric, but they can administer a nasty little...
Oh my God. I only thought eels were...
It'll wake you up.
How does that happen?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the torpedo comes from the Latin word torpere, like numb or paralyzed. As in a torpor. Yes.
Torpor.
Yes.
Wow.
Same root. Yes, the torpedo.
Like the hummingbirds, when they sleep, they go into torpor.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. All right. Learning something.
The color... Magenta.
Oh.
Magenta. Does magenta take its name from a person, a place, or a thing? And answers up. Karen says place. Chris says thing. Karen is correct.
Yes! Oh.
It is a place. This is an interesting story.
I feel like most weird colors are named after places because of dyes, maybe.
I don't know. So you're sort of right and sort of wrong and all in one. Yeah. Chris, you had talked on an earlier episode about colors that don't technically exist,
yes,
like in the visible spectrum, but they're kind of, you know, we perceive them like they're mixed in our brains. You know, it's a mixture of like physiology. So magenta is one of those colors, and it was originally, Karen, you're right, it was created as a dye. It was an artificial dye, and it was named fuchsin. Originally.
Okay. Like fuchsia.
Like fuchsia, that's right. It was invented by a French scientist named François-Emmanuel Vergin, and he invented it the same year as a major victory by Napoleon III.
Whoa.
In the Battle of Magenta.
Wow.
Which is a town in Italy. And he decided, like, this is such a big deal for the French.
I'm gonna rename my color after magenta.
Yes. Shrapnel.
Oh.
Little bits of metal that fly out from an explosion or a hand grenade or something like that. Shrapnel. Is shrapnel named after a person, a place, or a thing? Answers up. Chris says thing. Karen says person. It is a person.
Yeah.
Henry Shrapnel.
I am not making this up.
Good old Henry Shrapnel.
Henry Shrapnel was a British Army officer. Aren't they all British Army officers? Yeah. at least it's not the Earl of Shrapnel.
Right. Well, you know, he should have been.
He was an officer in the Royal Artillery Regiment. And in the late 1700s, he came up with a new design for a specialized artillery shell that would not just shoot bits of shrapnel like a big shotgun shell. They kind of had those shells already. Yeah. The problem that they had was like range. They're like, these don't work very well unless the guys are kind of close. So he came up with kind of like a fuse timer. So you would launch the mortar
and then
as the shell is in the air and gets closer to your, you know, your adversary.
Yeah, it would.
Then it explodes.
And then,
man.
And rains like musket balls. It was kind of like balls were the original, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's a good sign.
Kind
I guess,
of a dubious thing to have your name attached to.
Like guillotine or somebody.
Right.
It's, you know, it's, well, this is so deadly, we're going to name it after you.
Right.
Henry Shrapnel. You may have used it sometime in your life for therapeutic purposes. Epsom salts. Epsom salts, which are magnesium sulfate.
I use a lot after runs.
You can soak them. You can take them internally for a lot of uses as well.
What? Really?
Yeah. Magnesium sulfate. Are Epsom salts named after a person, a place, or a thing? All right. Answers up. Chris says place. Karen says thing. It is a place.
Chris has it.
Could it be Epsom, New Hampshire, or is it?
No, it is. Epsom is a town in Surrey, England.
Oh, man. Okay.
As it was famous as far back as the 1600s, they were famous. There was a natural spring there that bubbled up mineral water. And what they would do is boil down the water and get the salts out of it, the magnesium sulfate, and used it for a variety of, you know, therapeutic purposes.
Wow.
Yeah. There were like health resorts and wellness, you know, centers.
Oh, so you knew
there.
A town called
I knew
Epsom.
That there is a town in New Hampshire called Epsom, which probably carries its name over from England. Yeah.
It probably does, since it's in
New England.
Yeah. Yeah.
The newest England.
The newest of the Englands.
Come check us out. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. A bobby pin, such as you might use to hold your hair back, is a bobby pin named after a person, a place, or a thing?
Seems like it's a red herring because Bobby is a name of a person.
I will say that the origin story that I had once heard as a kid turned out not to be true.
Interesting.
But I don't know if you heard the same one I did. Answers up. You both say thing. You are both correct.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Now, right. OED, you know, sort of my ultimate source on these kind of things, they do say it is uncertain, but they believe it is most likely related to the bob haircut.
Oh, sure.
A bobbed haircut for women.
Right.
That came into use around the same time as when bob haircuts were very popular, a little bit after. They compare it to, like, the bob and bobby socks, like short socks, bobby socks,
bobby short, pin, bob.
Yep. So that is the most likely explanation.
Yeah. What was the thing that you heard when you were a kid that turned out to not be true?
I had heard that it was etymologically to bobbies, like British police officers, that it was, like, some part of their, you know, attire or their uniform. There are stories... There are stories floating around that it is named after a very famous bobby hairdresser, you know, in Europe at the time.
Sounds like something that an adult makes up when a kid asks a question.
It does.
It totally does.
Whatever.
All right, last one here. And this ended up being my favorite one here, because this is another one. This is like an age-old mystery.
Karen, how many points do you have?
I didn't count.
Oh.
But I think I'm higher than you.
Well, I mean.
So it is 4-3. All right, Chris, you can tie it up here.
I can't tie it.
You could even take the lead if you know the exact
answer.
Double
points?
Too.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
You might file your nails with an emery board. Emery board. And until just a few days ago, I did not know this, but please tell me, what is the emery in an emery board named after? Is it a person, a place, or a thing? All right. E-M-E-R-Y. Emery board. Answers up. Karen says place. Chris says person. And then he even specified Ralph Waldo Emerson. I like that you're swinging for the fences there. I like that. I like that. It is, in fact, a thing.
Oh, I cross it out, too.
Emery. This emery is a type of rock. Okay. Ground up. So it is a board coated with emery. So here's where it's interesting, at least for me. So emery, is a rock. It's mainly corundum. Okay. And corundum is aluminum oxide, basically. It's like a mineral, in crystal form. You may be familiar with corundum in a couple of its other forms.
Kitty litter?
No. maybe sort of the other direction. Corundum, if it is nice and clear and has trace amounts of iron in it, will turn blue. And we call it a sapphire.
Oh, okay.
Corundum, if it is nice and clear.
Oh, that's what this
and
is.
And has bits of chromium in it. It is red and is
and
a ruby.
Ruby.
So emery is like sapphire and rubies.
Tiny rubies.
Yeah, a little sort of, that's like their blue collar cousin is how I like to think of the emery and the emery board now. Yeah. So emery is extremely hard. They crush it up. It does have other materials in it.
Sand.
It's mostly corundum. Yeah. So they crush it up, put it on the board. You file down your nails. All right, so Karen, narrow victory there, 4-3.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't know if you guys saw, but Big Hero 6, the fantastic new Disney movie, just came out on DVD.
Blu-ray, it won an Oscar.
Won the Oscar for Best Animated Film. So anyway, I was thinking about Disney, and I was like, oh, I'll do a Disney quiz for All Quiz. And then I was like, wait a gosh darn minute, I know Dana's not going to be there, and that means it's going to be just Karen answers all the questions correctly, and Colin's just like, I'll just leave? Yeah. So then I realized, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I've crafted a sports quiz that Colin can definitely get all the answers to, and I've crafted a Disney quiz that Karen can definitely get all the answers to, but I'm going to give you the sports quiz, and I'm going to give Colin the Disney quiz.
I love it.
And we're going to see how you guys do with this.
I love it. All right.
All right. So let's see how – Colin will be sitting there sort of biting his lip during the entire – I know this. But we're going to see. This is – again, these are very – generally easy questions for somebody who knows their stuff about this, which means it's going to be a challenge for somebody who totally doesn't. Okay. So we'll begin with Karen.
Okay.
And I'll give you a round of sport. Five questions for each of you. All right. Here we go. All right. Question one.
Oh, you know what? I want Colin to say if he knows it or not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you don't get it, Colin, you can chime in with the answer. Now quiz Karen in the realm of sporting. This NBA legend played his entire career for the Boston Celtics and was named MVP for the years 1984, 1985, and 1986. Karen.
Oh, yeah, it's just me.
I think she's going to get this.
Who is Larry Bird?
Absolutely. Who is Larry Bird? Yes. All right.
I only know that because my dad used to have a t-shirt of Larry Bird's face, like overprint. Like the whole t-shirt is his face with his mouth open. And so my dad would like take a nap and I would come into the room and be like, whoa, what is that? It's Larry Bird's face.
It's a great Slumdog Millionaire moment.
Yeah. Yep.
Question number two. This is golfer Jack Nicklaus's nickname.
I know who he is.
Yes, yes. This is his nickname.
I know he's very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it like
Golfy McGolferson?
like Shooter McGavin. Golf that's guy. From Happy
Shooter
Gilmore.
McGavin. Shooter McGavin.
The pro.
No. That's a nice guess.
I like
though.
That. That's a classy guess.
Colin, you want to go for it?
I believe Jack Nicklaus is the golden bear.
He is the golden bear.
Oh, I was going to say the golden boy.
Oh man. Oh, you should have
been amazing. Don't they have the jackets? The gold jackets? Or is that just from Happy Gilmore?
Green jackets for the Masters. Oh, okay. Right.
Okay. Why is he a golden bear?
Who knows?
I'm not sure the origin of that nickname, actually.
Neither. And I didn't do enough research to find that out. So question number three. From 1996 to 2007, this baseball team was managed by Joe Torre.
From 1996
to 2007, this baseball team was managed by Joe Torre. It's T-O-R-R-E.
Oh, Torre. Ah.
Which is a weird way of spelling Joe, but there you have it.
East Coast. Boston Red Sox?
So close.
New York?
New York Yankees.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I like how you were able to intuit East Coast just from the manager's name.
Just from the way I was speaking?
Because I figured 2007, that was... Didn't the Red Sox like have a win or something? It was a big deal.
They did have a win and it was a big deal. Yes.
And so that's why I thought it was the timing.
Oh, okay.
Thing.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Got it.
Karen, question number four.
Wow.
Karen's round of sport. Name any two of the seven Canadian NHL teams.
Oh, this is easy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, she'll get this.
I don't know.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
easy and what's not.
Well, there is, of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes.
I believe Vancouver Canucks.
There you go.
And
yeah,
also
go.
The Montreal Habs or Canadian. Habitant or Canadian. Ottawa Senators.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're doing pretty good. Colin, do you want to try to finish it off?
Totally. Right. Senators, Maple Leafs.
Senators, Maple Leafs, Canadiens, Canucks. Three left.
Is like Edmonton.
Oilers.
Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. Two more.
Calgary Flames.
Calgary Flames, and one more.
Yeah, what's, like, you have to think of major cities.
The Winnipeg Jets.
Wow.
All right, between the two of you. All right, and question number five. At age 29 in 1973, she beat 55-year-old Bobby Riggs in a Battle of the Sexes tennis match. Karen.
Who is Billie Jean King?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good. So let's see. Now, you've acquitted yourself well in the sports round.
Yeah.
Three out of five.
Very good. Let's see Colin tackle these Disney-themed questions.
I'm not feeling confident.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah.
We've talked a lot about Disney. Maybe
it's true.
Osmosis.
I've absorbed a lot of information passively.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yep. Well, that's where Karen got all of her sports knowledge over the last, like, you know, 5-6 years.
Well, video game, my dad's t-shirt.
Right.
Billie Jean King was from a trivia book.
Yeah. There we go.
When I was a kid.
My dad did have a Dumbo t-shirt, so. No, he didn't. Yeah, no.
Okay, question one. What t-shirt did your dad have? All right, question number one. This Disney film features characters such as Toulouse, Marie, Duchess, and Roquefort.
Okay. Toulouse, Marie, Duchess, Roquefort, it's all French.
Uh-huh.
So is that Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, it is not. Well, you don't get to buzz it, but you can go for it if you want to.
What is the Aristocats?
The Aristocats.
Which takes place, you're kind of close. It does take place in France.
Okay. It does take place in France.
And it has little kittens and stuff.
Well, I didn't hear Lumiere. That's the only one that I know for 100%.
Okay.
I thought maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
You know Marie, though. Marie's the white cat with the little purple bow tie.
Okay.
That's where she's from.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Got it.
Sorry, I tried to pick characters that did not overtly suggest that this character is a cat.
Yeah. Well, are there other cat names?
Thomas O'Malley, the alley cat.
You just say yeah. Thomas O'Malley.
Scat cat. I guess I could have, yes. Name any two Disney musicals that feature song lyrics written by Howard Ashman.
Okay, so I'm assuming that's like the later gen, right? So I think he started with Little Mermaid. Is that one? So I'll say Little Mermaid, and I'll say Beauty and the Beast.
You are absolutely correct. In fact, you nailed the two that he actually wrote all of the lyrics to. He also contributed a song to Oliver and Company, and then wrote three of the songs in Aladdin.
Okay.
Name the sequel to Fantasia.
Oh, man. The sequel to Fantasia. Oh, is it... It wasn't Fantasia 2000?
Yes, it was Fantasia 2000.
I almost overthought that one.
Yes.
I'm like, it's not Fantasia Barrino. Yep. It's not, yeah.
Fantasia 2 Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. Fantasia Barrino. The sequel. I like it. We may need to know this one day. This is not a question, but for a bonus point for both of you.
Oh.
In what year was Fantasia 2000 released?
Well, okay. Well, it's got to be early because late would be stupid. I'll say 1998.
It was released in 1999. Okay. It's like, just remember, it's like Madden.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In addition to its most popular Academy Award winning song, this movie also features the tunes How Do You Do and Everybody's Got a Laughing Place.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'll just keep it to Academy Award winning. I believe Aladdin won something for an Academy Award for music. I'll guess Aladdin.
It is not Aladdin.
Okay.
What? Wow, you haven't been to Disneyland.
You can hear both of these songs being sung on a certain ride at Disneyland.
I got nothing.
Okay.
I believe that was Song of the South.
Song of the South.
Oh.
The Academy Award winning song being, Colin, want to take a stab at it?
Zippity-doo-dah.
Zippity-doo-dah.
All right.
All right. How are you
My
doing,
last
Ashley,
chance
by the way?
I think I've you got two.
You nailed Ashman and Fantasia, so you can tie this up. Here we go. All right. Here it is. There's the big old softball right across the plate just for you. The titular characters of this film are named Todd and Copper.
And Copper. Okay, so the... Man, now I'm drawing a blank on anything that has title characters. Todd and Copper.
Or...
Oh, right, okay, they must be some kind of animal. Are they, like, cousins or... Newsies? Is it Newsies?
I wish it was Newsies.
I had to
yeah, but Karen will school you on
that.
I know, it's right. That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
The Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
Oh, wow.
The Fox and the Hound.
Oh, man. One of the saddest movies ever.
Wow. I've never seen that as a
voice
kid.
Voice by.
I've never seen that one. Oh, I don't remember.
Who was what?
Kurt Russell.
What? Really?
Yeah. And, the other person's famous, too. It was like an old actor. I think it was like Mickey Rooney or something. Whatever.
I'm a hound dog.
Oh, so cute.
Oh, man. I haven't thought about that one. I should see that one again. Well, Karen, you're better at sports than I am at Disney. So there we go.
No Star Wars question or Marvel question. I guess that kind of defeats the spirit of
a little, yeah. I get, and Colin, now I'll quiz you about Disney characters.
When
who is
Luke
Skywalker?
Yeah.
Woo!
That was good. I like that.
Oh,
man,
thanks.
Yeah. It's so funny because they're all so easy for me.
Yeah.
And yet my questions are so easy for you, but.
Yeah, I like when Chris was reading the Joe Torre question, like you're writing down the years and I'm like, oh, I don't need to know the
know
years.
I don't need to know what years.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
That's
all
great.
Right.
All right. This is why we're a team.
Yeah. This is why we're a team.
This is why we are hated, actually. Hated throughout the entire food truck park.
Hissed and booed at our own pub trivia.
People do parody.
I feel like they're smiling when they do that.
I don't know.
Yeah. We had parody teams making fun of us. All right. And let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, my turn. And this relates back to feedback that we got from our mascots episode. It's just so weird. And this is a good point. Someone did say that that episode was the most U.S.-centric.
Yeah.
Which one?
Our mascots episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Considering
yeah,
back yeah, that... Well,
all the sports was U.S.
Well,
sports.
Well, except for UP, which is Canadian. Yeah, and
North American, certainly.
Michelin Man is French. Mm-hmm. You know,
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, and you have a bunch of Japanese characters. So, in the spirit of that, I have a international segment. I'm bringing back, and I did this once before, international song covers.
Oh, I love these.
Of right, English songs. And I mean English as in it can be American or famous songs.
Originally
sung in,
sung in the English language.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now in another language.
Now in another language.
So
and maybe different arrangement.
What are we trying to guess?
So two things. Oh. And we're gonna make it trickier. Two things. One is, can you name the original artist perform that song?
Okay.
Or the song is fine too. These are all famous songs that you two all know.
Yeah.
Should know.
Okay, all right. Should all know.
The other part is, can you tell me what language it is?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sounds good?
No.
You're so sassy today. First one to whet your appetite. Marie douceur a beaucoup, beaucoup de patience. Oui, mais un jour tu verras entrer dans la danse. Everybody!
Rolling Stones, Painted Black. French?
That was my first guess at first, but the longer it played, the less I thought it was
French.
It's
like I don't understand the words, but it sort of sounded like a French
accent. It started off sounding French, but by the end, I don't know.
Esperanto.
It is French.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Painted Black by the Rolling Stones by Marie Laforet. Next one. Chris.
Was this the Coors?
Incorrect.
Oh.
I believe it was the Cranberries.
Oh, the
correct.
Cranberries.
And was that, it wasn't Song for My Father? What was it called?
No, that's Dude, yeah. Oh, to My Family.
Oh, yeah.
This is a dream.
Dreams. And what language was it?
Was that Swedish?
I was going to say maybe Spanish, but again, the longer it went on, I didn't sound, I don't know.
That was in Cantonese. Oh. Chinese Cantonese.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Nowhere close.
Nope. Not at all.
Guesses of
not
Swedish or Spanish.
Right.
Okay.
But yes, that was a Cranberries. Dream.
Wow.
Next one, we're moving up in difficulty. Here we go. E deixei escapar das mãos. Se o futuro assim permitir, não pretendo viver em vão. Meu amor, não estamos sós. Tem um mundo a esperar por nós. No infinito do céu azul. Pode ter vida em Marte, então vem cá, me dá a sua língua. Então vem, quero abraçar você. Going around the world.
Oh, what is that?
Well, I'm going to say, is it in Portuguese?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds
it's
Portuguese.
In Portuguese.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I know that song. What is that? It sounds slowed down from the original.
Yeah. You play it one more time. E deixei escapar das mãos. Se o futuro assim permitir, não pretendo viver em vão. Meu amor, não estamos sós.
Tem um mundo a esperar por nós, no infinito do céu azul. Pode ter vida em Marte, então vem cá, me dá sua língua. Então vem, eu quero abraçar você.
Life on Mars.
Oh, I do not know that.
David Bowie.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. This was just...
Slow.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Say Jorge? Say George? Say Jorge? If you watched Steve Zissou in The Life Aquatic by Wes Anderson,
yes.
He is one of the crew members, yes. And he sings. I think the soundtrack was all him, yes. Singing David Bowie covers. In
that's
Portuguese.
Right. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. With a guitar.
Really good. That's right.
So that's him. Here's another one. Listen carefully. Listen to the beat.
Okay.
The arrangement is a little bit different, but the beat is the same. Colin.
That's a cover of The Gorillaz, I believe.
Correct. Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yes. Man, again, these languages.
How does that song?
I'm happy.
Oh.
When I'm sad.
Oh.
Sunshine in my head.
Right.
Useless.
Yeah, da, mostly da, correct there. Yeah, I think you got a word or two wrong. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Somebody.
But you know,
get me
Albert.
Out of
right,
my
yeah,
cage.
Yeah. Huh. And Del, right.
Huh. So it was like a little bit slower version.
It did sound like it beat wise though. Yeah. But all of this to dance around the fact that I have no good guess on the language there. I'm going to guess again. I don't know. Eastern European something. Mm, yeah.
I
don't
mean,
know.
In terms of, well, it's not
geographically.
Yeah. Geographically.
I'm not picking it up. It's tough.
It is Lebanese Arabic.
Okay.
Oh, huh.
This group is fantastic. And this song, this arrangement, he later raps too. It's really cool.
All one
I
guy.
I really like it. Oh, no, it's like a band.
Oh, okay.
In terms
okay.
of the vocalist.
That's cool. I like that one as well. These are all good.
One last one. All and right. This is kind of a jokey one. It was in a movie, so maybe it's not commercially released.
Okay.
And the person who's singing is not a famous singer.
All right.
He's an actor.
All right.
So please give me the original artist of the song that's being covered and perhaps the language.
Io mi sono frustrare, e mi sombrero me pondré, tempranito llegaré, si me dices que me amas. Yo te vi, yo te vi, yo te vi, yo te vi llorando. Oh, sí, sí te vi, sí te vi, sí te vi llorando. Solo en este mundo, sin ti me estoy muriendo.
Chris.
The song is I Want You to Want Me.
Yes.
Oh.
Is that
sounds
Chet? No.
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
Oh.
Cheap Trick.
Oh, okay. No,
want
I Want You to Want
you
Me.
You
okay.
To want me.
Yeah. In Spanish?
It sounds Spanish.
Spanish,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's from
wow.
The person singing was what's his name? Gael Bernal Garcia.
Oh, Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yes. The one of the famous Mexican actors. He was in a movie and he like had a cheesy like music video in the movie. It's a really crazy fake video.
Cool.
Well, good job, you guys. There
hey.
Was a trip around the world.
I feel like we got either the language or the song for all
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. As part of our ongoing effort here to internationalize the podcast,
indeed.
Karen, I too have a quiz with a bit of a around the world bent to it. This is a quiz called When in Rome. So in this quiz, it is geared around country names.
Yes.
But the country names that people who live in that country
right.
call their home country.
Oh. Yes.
So, we will start easy. We'll roll here. They will get less easy as we go. So I will give you the name of the country in that language, or if it's a country that has more than one language, sort of the dominant language.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Anglicized. None of these are in a script. I will hold up a printed out copy of the name
oh, thank
for you.
You.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just make it a little bit easier because,
yeah.
you know, I love you guys. I want this to
We're
be
pro.
Successful.
We have high production value now. We have a printer.
And please, dear listeners, if you or your family are from one of the countries that I mentioned on this quiz, bear with me. I'm doing my best. Not to butcher the pronunciation of your homeland's
name. You're pronouncing words in many different languages.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So you have a pad and pen. You will write these down. I expect some of these you will get right away. Some you may need to think about. Here we go. What country is known in its native language as... Deutschland. Deutschland.
Springtime.
And when you are ready, answers up. Chris says Germany. Karen says Germany. You are correct. Yes, Deutschland, the land of the Deutsch people.
Oh, really?
Going way back etymologically.
Why do we call it Germany?
It's, you know, because we get a root from one tradition. The locals have a root from another tradition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we simplify things just because languages are crazy. What country in its native language is known as Nihon? Nihon. N-I-H-O-N. Just to pad this out and give you enough time to write this down, because I know you know. Let's see. Answers up. Chris says Japan. Karen says Japan. Correct. Yes. All right. What country is known to the people who live there as Sverige? Sverige. Sverige.
Sverige.
And again, I'm not going to do a cartoonish accent here. Sometimes the way the word looks is a little bit of a clue. Answers up. Chris says Sweden. Karen says Sweden. You are both correct. It is Sweden. Sverige.
Sverige.
Sverige. Yes.
Huh.
All right. What country is known to the people who live there in their language as Hellas?
That is hella cool.
Hellas cool. H-E-L-L-A-S. Oh, and answers up. Karen says Greece. Chris says Greece. Yes, it is Greece.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes. I didn't know.
Oh, as in Hellene.
Also, Elada is E-L-L-A-D-A. Also acceptable, but Hellas is the much more archaic going way back.
Right.
Yep. If you're like an Olympics nerd, some of these will be very easy for you because you'll see, you know, like when you're watching the Olympics, they'll have the names of their country on their uniforms, on their attire, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you may recognize some of these. All right. Getting a little bit more tricky here. What country is known in its native language by the people who live there as Suomi? Suomi. S-U-O. M-I. Suomi.
Wow.
Getting tricky here.
Wow.
This may be a you know it or you don't one. I can give you some clues if you'd like. This is a Scandinavian country.
Oh, good.
Oh, Karen, that made her smile. I think she's on it.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, answers up. You both said Finland. You are both correct.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
That is the name in Finnish. They do also speak other languages there, but in Finnish, Suomi. All right. What country is known in its native language as Österreich?
Wow.
Oh, umlaut O. S-T-E-R-R-E-I-C-H.
Österreich.
Österreich.
Well, Reich is like...
Uh-huh.
Rain, right?
Yeah. Realm, rain,
Oscar
land.
Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar
land. Mm-hmm.
Hold on one second. Think about this.
I think you can reason this one out.
Yeah.
I think you can, Karen says Austria. Chris says Easter Island. It is, in fact, Austria. Karen's, yes. Österreich, which means Eastern realm. You're right.
Okay.
You're onto the right. Yeah.
Well, you're close with the East.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
Easter
you're kind
Island.
Of the Easter.
True.
Yeah. All right. We're going to close out here with some tricky ones here. So, what country is known to the people who live there as Magyarország? And I will give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
This is the home of the Magyar people. So, if you know what part of the world the Magyar people live in, so that's Magyarorszag.
Hmm.
And if you don't know where the Magyar people are, then this will not help you at all.
No.
Can I write two guesses?
Sure. We'll allow two guesses.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? I'll only count the first, but I'll allow you to take a follow-up guess.
All right.
All right. answers up. Chris says Hungary. Karen says Mongolia and Macedonia. Sorry, both incorrect. Chris has it. It's Hungary.
Oh!
Yes, yes. Hungarians are the Magyar people, historically. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure I'm slightly butchering the pronunciation. I do apologize.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Some of them are so close. You know, I mean, it's like the French call it France, since we spell it the same. That's about as close as you could get, all the way up to Hungary and Magyar Ország. What country is known in its native language to the people who live there as Hrvatska? Hrvatska. Hrvatska.
Slavic. Sounds Slavic-y. I
think you're thinking in the right, you're thinking in the right, you're trying to clue in on the language. What does it sound like? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not Russia.
It's not
Ukraine,
Russia.
Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
Hrvatska.
Belarus.
If you were a hardcore Olympics nerd, you'd be like, oh yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh.
Sure. All right.
Okay.
Write something down.
Okay.
These are the hard ones. These are the hard ones. Right. So there's no shame in not knowing these answers. All right. Chris says Poland. Karen says Ukraine. No, it is Croatia.
Oh,
Croatia.
Wow.
Hrvatska.
Maybe Hrvatska is pronounced Croatia.
Yeah, I'm just pronouncing all of these wrong. All right, last one.
This is it, huh?
The last one. Here we go. And I'll give you a little clue. There are many dialects spoken in this country.
Got it.
Many, many dialects and languages.
This is one of them.
Spoken in this country. In all of them, the word is very similar.
Sure.
What country is known in the predominant languages and dialects there as Bharat?
Oh, that sounds
Bharat. Bharat.
Oh.
And this is a slightly shortened version of the full complete name, but this is the sort of colloquial.
Huh.
Well, baht is Thai currency, BHAT, mm-hmm. but I don't think Thailand has that many different languages.
Answers up. Karen says Indonesia. Chris says Iraq. It is, in fact, India.
Oh!
India.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was...
Those are the hard ones, you guys.
I've heard that at some point, I guess, but yeah.
Would
not be able to pull that up.
So, wow. You guys, well done. You guys, I mean,
so
it's...
The hard ones are hard.
The hard ones are hard, and I like the way you guys try to reason them out by the language. Yeah.
One of your clues.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, great. Some good diversification and internationalization of the old podcast here.
And we have one last, a segment, or a surprise, I guess. Surprise. Chris has prepared a surprise.
Yes. Every now and again we do this. Not very often, but it's a little rollover puzzle that I'd like to leave you with. Basically, here is a quiz that you guys can take over the week as you're waiting for the next episode of Good Job Brain, and then we'll let you know how you did. So, here we go. I'm looking for the name of a musical artist, and I'm going to play you some song clips. None of these song clips are by the musical artist who I am searching for. But what you need to do is, first, identify the artists of these song clips. And then once you have those artists, you should be able to tell me what musical artists I'm looking for. What you're really going to want to do is to write down the names of those artists in a list, and then somehow magically you may find
it's called a puzzle.
It is a puzzle.
Sometimes trivia is hard.
You may find that if you write down those names of those artists, that you will ascertain the name of another musical artist, a totally unrelated musical artist, and that is the answer to the puzzle. So we will play you now this series of five audio clips. Please enjoy.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the
So there you go. They're all smashed together. You know, if you need to use Shazam, use Shazam. Yeah. If you want to look up the lyrics, look up the lyrics. Do whatever you feel like you got to do.
Nobody's look at the timestamps. You can look at the
timestamps. Nobody's looking. There's no prize on the line. It's a little fun thing to do. If you want to send Karen an email at gjb.podcast@gmail.com with the answer to the puzzle. And also, you know, just some nice words of encouragement for us. Because
it's like a bribe.
It is. It is. It totally is. And, you know, shoot her a nice little email at somewhere containing the answer to the puzzle. Maybe the first person or the first couple of people to nail it will give you a shout out on the show.
A shout out, yeah.
How about that?
Or bonus points if you reply back with a puzzle.
Oh.
Bonus points if you, there we go. Bonus points if you reply back.
Where the solution is the solution.
With a puzzle. Ooh.
Oh.
What are we setting ourselves up for here?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We'll see.
You guys are all very creative, especially the Australians. So just send us the answer in some creative way.
We're going to get a crocheted answer from Australia.
Oh, that's
If you want to send us the answer in form of karaoke, please do not. Please just stop yourself now.
All right. And that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you had fun today. Colin and I had a nice sports Disney showdown. That was good. That was
like
fun.
Cross-information exchange. I like that.
Yeah. I like that you're strong at this. I'll ask the other person that. Of course, you can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Audible, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.